This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, this is a story of If I Were You, a podcast ran by two coy Jews. They're both really funny and give great advice, but only one can win the golden mic. If Amir doesn't win pretty soon, I fear he might kill himself over Zoom. So sit down and listen to If I Were You, and we'll see if Jake can finally lose.
You got it?
Yes. Yes. A great song.
See.
A great tune.
I think I did win one recently. You sort of gave it to me and snatched it back at the buzzer.
I didn't snatch it back. You lost it. You fumbled. You fumbled the ball in the end zone. I don't even know if you're allowed to do that in football.
Yeah. But, well, if I broke the plane, it's a goal.
Well, it's not a one-to-one football wise. It's more of a classic football, like the world football, where you scored a goal but then had it overturned by VAR.
So you gave me the award and then you used a video review system.
Upon reflection, during review, your celebration.
Was I offsides? Like, what was the ruling?
You're
there?
Focused on it being like exactly like the sport. The ruling was that you clearly couldn't you could not you couldn't handle the shine of the moment.
Quite frankly, and I hate to even say it like that because I know you'll misinterpret it in a way that's negative, but the stage was too big and the lights were too bright for you.
Yeah exactly.
And I had never seen anybody shrink like that to the point where they couldn't even have the trophy because they were smaller than the trophy.
Rise to the occasion, it was more like dies during the situation.
Oh, I see. Well, that theme song was from Caleb Grenier. Actually, we're so low on theme songs, I'm searching for ones that I think we haven't used, but we might have used. So, again,
it didn't sound familiar.
Yeah, it didn't sound familiar to me either. But if you are sitting on a theme song, or if you know that you submitted one in last year and you know that we didn't get to it, let us know. Send it to us again.
Yeah. Please do.
Please. We're in the market. It's a submitter's market right now. So we'll probably accept your offer.
Oh, and people's been submitting us debates since we aired that last episode?
No, because it just went up yesterday upon recording, so...
I see.
It's a little early.
But it's a little early. All right, cool.
Again, well, another call-out.
I'm still hoping for the Settle This Debate podcast. That's our new career pivot.
Any long-lasting debates in your life that you want us to be the tie-breaking vote for.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Has anyone come up in your life recently, debate-wise?
That's a good question. Debate wise. I don't think so. Has any come up for you?
No, but I am trying to figure out what to bring to my parents' dinner tonight. So if you have any ideas.
Oh, actually a debate did come up recently. A friend of mine is going to a wedding. Basically a destination wedding. It's like a driving destination, but it's at a hotel that is so expensive that for the weekend it's $2,400. And there's not anywhere else to stay. That's where, like, they're part of the wedding party. They have to be on site. $2,400. And he was like, do I have to get a gift? Because I'm spending so much money to be there. And what would you say to that?
I would say no. Because it's kind of outlandish that they're demanding you to go and making you spend $2,400, which is definitely more than you would spend on the gift.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the gift, I think, and that's why I said I think he does have to get a gift, because this is very annoying, but like not getting a gift, I think it's too big of a slight. Two wrongs don't make a right here.
you're saying they do have to get a gift.
Yeah, you have to. I think you do have to get a gift. And you can look at the registry and get a less expensive gift.
Yeah, because I mean, it's candlesticks for $24 or something.
Yeah, I think a wedding gift is usually the wedding gift, I think, is supposed to like make up for or even out like what the, you know, the couple spent on your food and giving you and your drinks and a good night.
Which this is more like, than that. Yeah.
100%. You're definitely still in the red. Like I don't know. So
you're saying everything that I agree with, but then you're saying that's why you have to get him a gift. And I'm saying it's the polar opposite. This is why you don't get him a gift. Because
I think
the couple has been nasty to you.
Yes, but it's $150, which is it's not a small chunk of change, but it's on top of this $2,400. So yeah. It's just like, call it $2,600 that you're out on the weekend.
More. More probably.
And you've done no wrong. You have you've been slighted. You've been insulted. And you still have the social grace to do what you're supposed to do in this situation. The groom and the bride misstepped, but you don't have to.
So is it $1,200 a night?
$1,200 a night.
That's absurd. That's crazy expensive. Yeah. That's like
the
fancy hotel in Yosemite level prices.
Yeah, I stayed there with Jill. It's less than that. The Iwani, it's less.
900 is still a lot, and they have to pay more than that.
Also, like, I was like, well, at least is it like a sick hotel? And they showed it to me, and it's not.
It's a Radisson in Cherry, New Jersey.
It's kind of like that. It's just like a little bit like, I don't know, like Trumpy, golfy type vibe.
Like not, a country club.
Yeah, exactly. Not that cool. Not that cool.
It's not like some solar hotel in Big Sur on the Gulf with everything glass.
That's right.
Paid for dinners and anything like that.
Exactly.
$1,200 a night to come to my wedding. The pressure is really on for that wedding if it's not that good.
Yeah.
I went to the most convenient wedding last weekend, which was just in the valley, kind of next to where we shot Lonely and Horny.
Wow.
I drove there, parked right next to the house. Taco
was
truck
that,
dinner.
It was at Ruby Jade's mansion, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Next door. Ate some food, drove home. Very convenient.
Wow.
Anytime you could sleep in your own bed after a wedding.
After a wedding, it's really great. Yeah. Yeah. My sister's wedding was down the street. It was great.
Can't beat
that. We walked home.
Wow. That's the most convenient.
Yeah.
All right. We actually have a wedding question, so why don't we get to that?
Oh. All right. Let's do it.
This is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the internet, we should say.
Yes, that's true.
That's hosted by us.
Right. You do have to qualify it.
I'm Alistair Jeremy.
And I'm Ron Jeremy.
Wow.
Alistair's brother who has fucked on camera for near 60 years. Not bad.
Have you ever seen a Ron Jeremy porn, or do you just like know about him?
I have seen a Ron Jeremy porn, but not in like a way that was like, oh, wow, yeah, I used to watch his porn. I feel like it was like, I don't know.
You actively seeked it out.
Right. Yeah, because I think he was a porn star. I mean, he was a porn star for a long time, but I think it was his heyday was before I was watching porn.
Yeah.
I did see him in the Burbank airport one time.
That's cool.
Flying to Vegas with two plastic shopping bags.
Do you
No cap.
Empty. One had a goldfish in it.
It really was. It was so sad looking.
Do you think you'd have been into porn if you had to be like one of the guys that rented it from like behind the velvet rope of a 2020 video and like
been
that kind of porn? Or like the internet allowed you to embrace your inner porn?
Yeah, it was definitely the access.
You wouldn't have been like a magazine guy. Shame. You wouldn't have been like going to like a nickel theater where you sort of crank it in one of those private stalls.
I guess I don't think so. I really don't think so.
You want to believe.
I do. I'm confident in myself. I have a high, a sense of self-worth that makes me want to believe I wouldn't have sunk to that level.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Jerking up in a movie theater? I don't know.
All right. Here's a question about a Halloween wedding.
Okay.
So we know it was submitted recently. We'll call this lady Elvira. Who is that Halloween-ish actress from the 80s? Right. Elvira writes, longtime listener, first time with a real question. No. My boyfriend's sister is getting married the day before Halloween, and the wedding invite said costumes encouraged. I don't know how seriously people are taking this, but I've asked a few of his family members. And they're wearing costumes, but I don't think it's actual costumes, or I don't know if it's actual costumes or just a nice outfit with a few costume accessories. Either way, I don't want us to be the assholes who full out dress out in costumes or the assholes who show up in just nice outfits. Ugh, what would you do? Thanks. Mm. Love, Elvira.
Well, I mean, that is a good question. I feel like, right? I actually talked about this with a friend recently, who was like giving a guy advice on what to wear to like a work Halloween party or something.
Right.
And we came up with some good costumes specifically for a fancier event. Okay. You have Dracula, who's basically in a tuxedo. Uh-huh. All you need is teeth and a little blood, slick back hair. So you can do that. You can do Clark Kent Superman, where you are mostly in a suit, but with like a superhero thing underneath.
That's cool.
Kind of,
but
like
this is a lady
thing. Yeah, but you know, you can pull that off too. Be Wonder Woman, same vibe. Mm-hmm. Or Clark Kent, Lois Lane, if you got a date. Also, exactly the people that you're talking about right now. You know, Frankenstein and Elvira. They're wearing suits also.
Yeah, so it's like a costume that requires one of the people to wear a suit.
I think so.
Dumb and Dumber?
Dumb and Dumber is pretty solid. You could also do just more like Halloween decorations on your fancy clothes. So you wear like fancy clothes, but candy corn earrings.
That's good. Cobweb on your wrist.
little pumpkin, pumpkin earrings, candy corn cufflinks. That's tasteful.
It's tasteful. Oh, and maybe,
a cool one would be Scarecrow in a tuxedo, because you just have hay coming out of the suit, you know?
Yeah. What about like you're in a suit and you jump in a puddle of mud and roll around and then you just arrive? So you're still in a nice costume, but you're covered in shit.
That's interesting. What's the costume?
I don't know. Guy that like got chased during a fucking wedding and it's like a zombie situation and you fell in manure or something. I don't care.
So you should care.
I really don't care.
Yeah, you're half-assing this. You're phoning it in. What are you
like, whatever.
What's going on with you?
I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter. It's not even, this isn't our wedding.
You didn't even pitch a costume. You said a guy covered in mud and shit.
A guy in a fucking suit covered in shit.
Why would anyone want...
It doesn't matter. Just say that's perfect.
It doesn't matter. Why pitch that? Why pitch something so... It's so cumbersome and inconvenient to be wearing a suit covered in mud and shit at a wedding. And I'm saying, why do you want that? And you're saying, it doesn't matter. Say good job and move on.
All right, fine. Fucking... What'd you say? The Scarecrow?
Yeah, it wasn't even that good. But sure, you say that one and I'll say it's fine.
What about if you're dressed as fucking Dolly Parton and you're covered in shit?
Is that part of the equation? Dolly Parton is fine. You don't care one way or the other, you know? So, like, don't suggest that they cover themselves in shit if it's, right. like, not an integral part of the costume to you. Or, don't be flippant.
Bride of Frankenstein. So you show up in the fucking white dress, which is, like, considered a no-no since it's a costume.
Yeah, that's a faux pas.
And as a nice little twist, you do shit your pants.
I see. That's cool. Because that way, if the bride is jealous, you know, if like, the bride is like, why did you wear a wedding dress? Like, you shouldn't be jealous of me. I shit in this dress.
Yeah. I shit in your dress too, actually. How did you do that, you fucking magician?
Cool. So, yeah, that's, I think, good advice from both of us.
Also, the American Psycho suit, where it's like suit, but you're over it, is that clear raincoat thing.
80s suit. I feel like if it were me and I knew the like the couple getting married well enough, I would reach out and be like, what level of, like, do you guys want like people to try hard for these costumes? Because if it's like costumes encouraged, then, you know, there might be some people that are not really doing any costumes, and then you show up in like a really good costume and you'll stick out.
Yeah.
But if the couple is like, no, yeah, let's, like, everyone should, you know, there's going to be a costume part. It's a contest, costume contest. Then you want to do it.
If everyone's like wearing suits, like you said, and has like candy corn cufflinks, and then you show up like the fucking
Frankenstein,
cowardly lion.
You're painted green.
Enough
to see the wizard.
Sorry, you have to take your seat. At the very least, don't interrupt the ceremony. I don't have a brain, like knocking shit over. Not my brain, no character. Stuffing.
Is that the latest Jake and Amir costume thing where you're the scarecrow and you sing a really sad song? Or is that an earlier one?
I don't have a brain. No, I think we shot it in the New York office.
Yeah, it was a newer one. It's the newest. Oh, wow, we're coming up on Halloween. You have to get out here so we can make another one.
Costumes part 9.
Costumes actually, I'll be part in LA. 5. I will be in LA next week. If you want to try to shoot that,
we got to just fucking batch order some costumes today.
Yeah.
I can already smell the cheap styrofoam costumes that we always get and how hot and uncomfortable they are to wear.
I think it's time.
Opa does still lead a sad style life, so that's maybe it is still current. Okay, let's take a break, thank some sponsors, come back, answer more quests after these.
Yep.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, Just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson in the fire. Mom, I'm coming.
I don't. Oh yeah, forgot our hand sign. If everybody's watching at home, we have. Yeah, we're on Zoom. We've got the hand sign. What do we call this one?
Triforce.
Triforce.
The weird three-eared. I have three-eared. A weird three-ear.
It's so bizarre. I don't know how you can do that.
I really can only do it with one hand. Like, I can't do it with this hand. This is
that's what mine looks like.
I have some sort of tear in my right hand. I think I'm double jointed in my right hand. Like, I can do
I'm getting a little better with this one.
You know, I can like bend my finger back a lot like this.
Yeah, that's insane. That's a lot. That is a lot.
I wonder what double jointed actually means. Like, what's going on anatomically speaking?
Yeah, I think it's deeply unhealthy. It's you're malnourished. You're not supposed to be that bendy.
It's the beginning of an osteoporosis journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have any unsolicited, but I think you do.
Yeah, it's kind of niche, but somewhat universal. If you ever leased a car before the pandemic, you'll enter this problem. The pandemic is still raging. I guess it's twice as hard. Every car is more expensive. There's no supply anymore. So back pre-pandemic times, you want to lease a car, you just go to a lot, you test drive. They got all these options. You want it in black, you want it in blue, you want this big one, small one, test it out. Let's negotiate a rate. You can give you something a little bit better. Fast forward to 3 years later, your lease is over. You're like, give me a new car. And they're like, we don't have any cars. The car you want is twice as expensive. And you'd have to like pick it up in Palm Springs 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept hearing it. And, you know, my time was finally up. I had to return my car and I didn't want to spend $600 a month instead of $300 a month on this pretty much the same exact car. So somebody recommended I use a car broker, which I didn't really know. That sounds like a travel agent. I'm like, that's something old people use. I don't really have to do that. I can figure it out myself. I use the internet. But with car situations, you do have to like go in and actually talk to the dealership. And there's nothing worse than talking at the dealership with someone who knows a lot about cars. And that's their job.
That's right.
And like, I just do this once every 3 years. I don't know if you're taking advantage of me or whatever. So somebody recommended to me a car broker, which is like a guy that like is a professional basically lease/used car buyer that can help you navigate and save you money so you don't have to deal with a car dealership. So he was able to like negotiate rates for me, shop around, do all this stuff. And
what does he earn?
That's what I asked. I'm like, what's your rake? Because like if you're just doing all this price comparison slash shopping for me, what's your vig?
Bud.
I guess he gets paid as part of your new low monthly rate. So like I still save money because I instead of paying $600 a month, I'm paying $300 a month. And it should have been like $270, but $30 goes to him. So he gets paid basically in the savings that he gives me.
I see. And do you pay him what, over time or all out at once?
It's all baked into this new like car loan that I got, basically. Like
I see.
So instead of leasing,
so I'm Mazda's
Yeah. No, no, it's like the bank that he uses to finance this car loan. He gets paid from them or something.
Wait, so did you buy your car or you're leasing a car?
Instead of leasing a new car, I'm basically just continuing to pay for the car that I have, because if you're like me, you probably didn't drive this car all that much, and your car is worth a lot more than a normal three-year-old car.
I see. How many miles did you put on that thing?
So I was allowed 10,000 miles a year for 3 years, but instead of 30,000 miles, I had driven it 9,000 miles.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I had the exact same thing.
Borderline new. And they're like, you because the price of the car is baked into what it was in 2019. So I'm like, you can be paying for what they think the car is worth, but yours is actually worth a lot more.
Right.
Mine, it's a very specific problem, but everyone seems to be going through it right around now. Because if you ever leased a car, I come from a leasing family. A lot of people just buy used. But if you have a leasing system in your family, in your life, in your finances, then I guess try to find a car broker. I don't want to like shout out this specific guy just to keep it universal. But yeah, car brokers are really helpful.
Interesting. I remember, I think Jill used a lease broker, like somebody that found her the best lease price when she moved to LA. I never leased a car. I leased a car in 2019, December 2019, just before the pandemic.
That's right.
And I also had 10,000 a year for 3 years, and I've driven it 32,000 miles.
Wow, you went above.
I went over, yeah.
Because of Connecticut to New York trips.
Yeah, we drove a lot. Man, but I was able to just, my lease is coming up as well, and they just had another car for me.
That specific car, or like the 2022 version of the 2019 version?
The 2023 RAV4.
And so is not that what you have?
Not the specific car. I have a 4Runner now, but
so
I'm
a Toyota
downgrading
car, but not
to a hybrid, or upgrading to a hybrid, depending on who you ask.
Right. So the car is cheaper, but since it's 3 years later, it's actually the same price.
Maybe. I have no idea. Yeah. This whole thing made me text the guy and find out what the price was going to be. They're very nonchalant.
Yeah. And at the dealership, you know, their goal is to make as much money as possible. So like using this broker guy, you don't have to deal with the dealership at all, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
So yeah, that's my very specific unsolicited advice.
So you love the Mazda.
I don't love cars. So like, as long as I'm comfortable in a car, I don't really care about like upgrading, changing, constantly shifting. I'm like, this car is fine. Let me just keep paying for it. And then in like,
yeah, cause you only drive to work and around the neighborhood. You're not going on
right or to
trips.
My parents' house, but it's like 10 miles away.
Yeah.
I'm not taking like cross California trips.
Right.
All right. Let's see if we have any more questions about car financing.
Ideally.
Oh, no. It's actually more interesting questions than that. Okay. Another question from another lady.
Ooh, okay.
This one's about baby names.
Good.
So we'll call her... Actually, Loretta Lynn just died. That's a great name. She was a country singer. Loretta Lynn.
90 years old.
So Loretta writes... Hope you're doing well. I have a problem that is extremely minuscule. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of my lifelong friends recently had a baby, and my friend met her husband while studying abroad in Israel. And they have since moved back to the same city I lived in, which is great because I get to see them all the time and be a part of the baby's life. The only problem is I hate the baby's name. Mm. My friend is fully American, but her husband is Israeli. They picked a name that is super cute and relatively common with English pronunciation, but they insist that her name be pronounced the Hebrew way, which sounds very unnatural when I say it. It would be like if the baby's name was Hannah, but they demanded I pronounce it Hannah. I'm not trying to be super racist. After all, I'm also Jewish, but it annoys me that my friend, who grew up with zero Hebrew whatsoever, all of a sudden has a baby with an ultra-Hebrew name. I think the part that's getting under my skin is that they will correct me every time I accidentally use the English pronunciation. Ugh, I feel like a bad friend or person. I realize I get the turdy for this, but how do I get over this and get used to saying my friend's baby's name the way they want?
Wow. You're right. It is minuscule.
How often is she going to actually say the baby's name is the real thing? Like, you can even say baby. Look at that sweet baby. Oh, my God. I want to eat this baby. You don't have to say Hannah or whatever the baby's name is.
I think, you can. I feel like you could give the baby a nickname. They're correcting you for mispronouncing the name, not for calling the baby anything else. So you say, hi, baby, hi, buddy, hi, whatever. Give the baby a cute little baby nickname that you call it. Game over. They're not going to be like, hey, use her name. And if they do, then you also have to do that. It's
because they have
it is not your call. Yeah. Worst case scenario, you just have to practice saying this name a bunch. And I bet you'll get used to it.
Here's an interesting thing. So I thought it was, she actually provided the name of the baby in the email.
Okay.
And I thought it was going to be one of those words with like a letter that doesn't exist in English. Like kind of like Amir is actually Amir. Like you're not supposed to say the R that way.
Yeah.
Or the Ch, where it's like, that's annoying to say Chanukah, Chumus, like that. You don't want to be that kind of guy.
Yeah.
But she says, it's okay if you want to say the baby's name on the pod. And it's actually not that different a way to pronounce it. So the baby's name is E-D-E-N.
Eden.
So in English, it's Eden, of course. But they want me to say Eden.
Eden. That's so fine.
Eden. Eden. Yeah.
Eden.
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 Which are, you know, letters we have. Eden is just, it's like Eden. Saying Ed, like Edward, and then the letter N.
Yeah. It's totally.
You're like, look at this Eden. It's nice. Oh, it's so sweet, Eden. It's actually Eden.
It's Eden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of setting up the baby to correct a lot. Like, that's the one thing I don't like about names like that, where it's like, for the rest of this baby's life, she's going to have to say, actually, it's Eden. That's actually Eden. It's like, at a certain point, the baby's just going to give up. Be like, it's Eden. That's fine.
Right. Doesn't matter. But I think that if your friends are telling you to pronounce their child's name correctly, you kind of, and you're, it's to be fair, she is asking, how do I get over this? Not, are they wrong? Because she knows they're right.
That's right. She already feels bad.
I mean, how often do you say, right now, use your Eden is a more familiar word for you than Eden. But how often do you say Eden, you know?
Yeah, it's just not that Garden often. Of Eden.
Right. That doesn't come up very often. So just keep on saying Eden, and eventually that's going to be more normal than Eden. And it's not that hard to say. And it doesn't sound that bad. It's cute. It's pretty.
Eden, yeah. There's some Hebrew names that are unfortunate, like translations. Like there's a Hebrew name for a girl, Moran, which is Moron. You know, Moron. Right. That's unfortunate. Yep. You don't want to be a Moran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moran. That is really good.
We've had some cousins Moran, where it's like, I hope you don't move to America. It's not going to be an easy transition.
Yeah.
But Eden.
Moron. Eden
works. Yeah.
Eden is nice. Eden is actually very nice. It reminds me, you know that street in Los Angeles, Rowena?
Yeah.
I started calling it Rowena at some point, and it made me like it a lot better because that soft E is really, it's really nice.
Rowena.
Rowena.
Yeah.
Eden.
All right. You'll get over it. Loretta.
And if they're cool with a nickname, that also works. But I feel like for them to be cool with the nickname, you have to at least reliably pronounce the baby's name correctly for a little while. And eventually,
call her little E. And then they'll say, actually, it's little eh.
Eh.
Eh. Like you're clearing your throat.
Yeah. I think you're going to be okay. If you practice saying it a bunch, you won't feel dumb saying it.
Okay. Let's take another break. Thanks some sponsors. Okay. Come back with more questions and answers after these. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Wow, this must be a ladies' choice episode because it's three ladies asking three questions. And the third one is having a crisis of faith a little bit.
Whoa. All right. Save the best for last.
Let's call her Mary.
Mother Mary, come to me.
Who's, I guess, Jesus's wife or main chick or a side piece or something.
I think mom, but I'm honestly not sure.
She's actually God's side piece. God had a wife and then cheated on her with Mary.
Who's and sort that's of on this. God.
That's not to put on God on blast, but I really think he cheated on his wife with Mary and they made Jesus together. But let's see what problem Mary had. I'm a 32-year-old woman from Montreal, Quebec. I grew up in a super Christian family and I've been pretty religious myself. But as I'm getting older and after a few years away from the church and Christian community, I don't think I believe in God anymore. Should I tell my parents or should I just let them think it's a bad phase? I know they pray for me and they hope I'll come back closer to God. Also, I love you guys so much. I've been following you for 5 years. Your podcast is helping me get through a rough breakup, probably between her and God. When I need a laugh, I just put you on and feel better. So thank you.
Love it. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks for everything. Love, Mary. All right.
Mm. I'm a big fan of not disappointing your parents. Just like, how often do you see them and does it matter that much if they think you believe in God or not?
Right. It only comes up if they're like, now it's time for us to go around and do this God thing. And then it's like, okay, now they push the envelope. Now let's go to church and pray for 3 hours about God. Mm-hmm. If you have a kid, I hope you're going to do this God thing. You have to do it, right? Cause, and then yeah. It's like, actually, fine, it's snowballed to this point. I just wanted to let you know that I don't believe in God and haven't for the last 9 years.
Yeah.
I've been on both ends of it, where it's like a small lie snowballs into a bigger reveal later on, where it's like, right. It's almost better to do the micro disappointments along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Although this seems like a major disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it the same? It's like, if you're a non-God believer, if your kid at age 32 is like, I believe in God, would you be as disappointed as these parents who are like hearing for the first time that their child doesn't believe in God?
It would depend on so many factors, but on taking that at face, I would be disappointed.
You'd be like, really, what are you talking about?
Yeah. But there are like Stephen Colbert is somebody who like deeply believes in God.
Right. And like, they always get around in it by being like, yeah, I believe in a strong connection and that's my God. It's like, well, then you don't believe right. in God, really. You're just saying you believe in like something important. I guess I also believe in the power of positive thinking. Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, I believe in things like that. But I mean, there are people that are just like, no, so you believe in making connections and that's your religion. I believe that there is a guy in the sky and I will go to heaven and live forever and be happily ever after, et cetera, yeah. et cetera.
There's a lot of loopholes in this believing in God thing.
Yeah. So I think it depends on how much, if my kid was like, I believe in God, I'm like, I theoretically would be like, that's good for you. Don't try to push it on people.
I have no son.
That's weird. I don't know. I mean, it depends how much time you spend with your parents and how overbearing they are about it, I think.
I think not believing in God to somebody who does believe in God, or parents that do, is more disappointing because it's like such a part of their life / like, I don't know, brain that they raise you, and they could almost consider themselves failures to be like, how did I raise this child to mm-hmm. question God? Even though really it's a sign that you raised them correctly, that they were able to critically think past your specific viewpoint.
Right. That's true. But they also, there's like the added thing of like parents who believe in God and believe in heaven and who have a kid that loses faith, they're actually like, well, they're condemned to eternal damnation. They're going to feel the fire of hell for eternity.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty concerned about that.
I'm because scared that's, that you'll go to hell though.
Yeah. For somebody that believes, that's a really hell. Sad and scary belief that like this person that I love is, I'm going to go to heaven and they're going to go to hell. We won't get to be together in the afterlife. So at the very least,
that's pretty intense to think. Like I have no real proof, but like that's what I've been taught, that you're just going to, I think, go to hell. Yeah. You're going to go to hell.
It's kind of a hard circle to square, or whatever that phrase is. But like mm-hmm. if heaven is like everything is perfect, then your kid actually would be there, right? But they'll go to hell. So how is heaven good if that's not, I don't know. Thankfully, it's not real. And then you don't have to actually worry once you get there. But
you're going to feel so stupid if you go to hell. You're going to feel so dumb.
Yeah.
I feel like if you could spend 1,000 years there, you should have been like, if only for the fucking 70 I was alive, I believed, I wouldn't be in this fucking dark. Carnation / damnation.
You know, by the way, at the very least, you could say, you could just agree with them that it's a phase. Like, yeah, I think maybe I am going through a phase, but I like question my faith and I don't feel like I believe right now. Maybe my journey will lead me back to believing. Maybe they can tell you about their doubts or something. But you could, rather than being like, no, I'll never believe, you could just be like, yeah, I don't believe in God right now, lost my faith, and maybe we'll see what happens as I get older. But by all means, continue to pray for me, because that's something that would make you feel better. I don't care, but
you could do like the vague loophole where it's like, I do believe in a higher power. Like, that's honestly cool.
Is it God? Is it Jesus? Is it?
I was going to say, it's my love of Jesus. Poetry. You know? Poetry is pretty good, but not as good as Jesus. You think Jesus yeah. saved you?
I don't know. Jesus wrote poetry.
You're saying it really specifically, Mom. I'm just saying that I believe in like this cosmic connection we all have. No, you yeah. really have to believe that this guy was the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And if he's going to save you from going to hell. Like the more specific it yeah. gets, the harder it is to wrap your head around.
It's really true. So the three options are lie, say that you believe, but you're busy doing other stuff. The micro disappointments say that like, oh yeah, no, I believe. I just don't feel like compelled to go to church right now. I'm not there. And then, you know, you keep on going really slowly down that off ramp. Or lastly, you blow it all up and you say, I don't believe. But to me, it's like the constant fight would be a real drain. I don't know. It's tough. It is tough.
Yeah, because it's parents plus religion. Those are the big two. I wonder if yeah. anybody has like an easier question. Oh, here's one about the best bagels to get in New York.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that one has an actual answer. Simple question for you. I'm flying to New York in November. Where should I get the best bagel? Are you a bagel guy?
Not really. I'm just a big fan of like, I mean, there's Frankel's in our neighborhood is really good.
Yeah. I honestly think bagels are too big. If permission to speak freely, it's by the end of the bagel, you feel like you've had, I think there is like some correlation, like eight slices of bread where it's like, I didn't need to eat. Like I can have half of a bagel and feel fine. I don't need to eat a full bagel.
There's also a place called Black Star Diner that does like a smaller, more manageable bagel. And so does Frankel's. But yeah, like a lot of the big Brooklyn places are just like huge, bombs. Huge bagel, ton of cream cheese.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of just like the classic bodega breakfast sandwich. I think that's the best thing you can get in New York.
A roll.
Egg and cheese on a croissant from the bodega. It's incredible.
What's that Lower East Side place that I went to? It's like a Jewish deli bagel outpost.
Oh.
Like they just opened a new, is it Russ and Daughters?
That is one.
There's like another one uptown and then they opened I forget what it was called. They opened one in the Lower East Side. I'm looking online right now. Gosh, I wish I could provide you. But I went there and they had good food beyond just... bagels.
Let me see.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a specific bagel.
It must be Russ and Daughters.
There's a newer one that they opened.
There is one on East Houston.
Yeah, it's not that. It's like even souther than that.
Oh,
it's like a blue and white.
Oh, black. Is it not? It's Black Seed Bagels.
Is it? That doesn't sound.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Oh, Russ and Daughters Cafe. That's what it is. So Russ and Daughters has a place on Houston. And then there's a Jewish comfort food that has bagels, a cafe in like on Delancey in the Lower East Side. That's my recommendation.
Gotcha.
But yeah, like I'd rather go to like a deli, like Katz's Deli, than just a specific bagel shop.
And I think that the move is to tell your parents that you don't believe in God, but that's just who you are. And you're okay with them believing in God. Because if
you're talking about the bagel guy... Like,
yeah, I'm talking about the bagel thing again. But if you make it about like, you should believe, I don't, you like, you just have to be like, that's not me. I respect what you guys feel like, but that's not me. I think
that's not good enough.
That's all you, yeah, that's all you can do.
What percentage of Americans do you believe in God?
Wow, I guess.
Or do you think believe in God?
65%.
Oh, you think it's the majority?
I do think it's the majority.
This random article I just Googled, says it's 81%.
Wow. Is that what you would have thought, or you would have thought less?
I would have thought less. I thought I read something that like now atheists are the majority in America, but I guess not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
According to that random article.
Exactly. Fakegodfacts.com says 81%. Wow. That's a lot.
Incredible.
So we're in the minority there.
I guess so.
Okay. Enjoy your bagels if you want them. Or God if you want. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I just prefer matzo ball soup, I guess, to God.
Yeah.
All right. If you have your own questions, your own debates that you want us to settle, or theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
That's right.
We are still making videos on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Ja. There might be a new Jake and Amir video if I can convince Amir to order a bunch of Halloween costumes for next week.
That's right. The hard part is ordering and returning them. But once you do that, the script writes itself.
Exactly.
And we will be back, of course, next week, every week, for the rest of our lives.
Right on.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And one more time, what was that guy's name? That classic, classic song that we didn't remember if they had just written it or not. Caleb, totally. Maybe? Caleb sounds Grenier. Right.
That sounds right. Grenier, that's
Caleb
it.
Caleb Grenier.
Well, this is a story of If I Were You, a podcast ran by two coy Jews. They're both really funny and give great advice, but only one can win the golden mic. If Amir doesn't win pretty soon, I fear he might kill himself over Zoom. So sit down and listen to If I Were You, and we'll see if Jake can finally lose.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hmm? Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.